Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and Greg, you are the co-host today. Of course, you're usually on the sports program, but this is Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. We have a lot of great fun on this show. Of course, heavy in entertainment and heavy in success. And Greg, today we have someone that is the epitome of success.
Absolutely. And obviously very exciting because coming off a championship season, of course.
Oh, absolutely. That adds even more to it. But even if that didn't happen, the success is just overflowing. And, of course, CEO and majority owner of the Arizona Rattlers, founding partner for a Nexus Group, as well as founding partner for Sure West Financial Group. I am excited. I am honored. Ron Schertz, welcome to the show.
Guys, well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
And of course, some fun.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm watching right now. You have a hat on. It says 2012 Arena Bowl 25 champions. Of course, that is your Arizona Rattlers.
Yeah, I think I've wore this hat every single day since we won, so you probably can tell it's all beat up. But
oh, it looks great, and it's so exciting. And we'll get into the Rattlers a little bit later. But speaking of sports, Nebraska, that's where it all started, right? That's where you grew up, I believe, or at least you started in financial planning.
No, born and raised there.
Oh, born and raised there.
Born and raised a Husker my whole life, and left the state for a little while, went to school at a place called Morningside College in Sioux City where I played football.
Oh, you did?
And I played quarterback.
Oh,
and,
neat.
You know, not as good as Nick and or as tall as Nick. And I think I'm better looking than Nick, but he won't agree with that. But
now we have Nick on the line.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, perfect, Nick. But, yeah, I played quarterback and then moved back to Nebraska for a little while when I actually got in the financial services business.
Wow, that is so cool because Nebraska Cornhuskers rated number 16. They're 7-2. They're first in the Big Ten Legends Division. Sixth overall in rushing, 20 points allowed. Not a bad team.
Not a bad team. You know, it's definitely been a little shaky, and fortunately for Taylor at quarterback, they've won some close games down here at the end and made some big plays, and we'll see what happens.
Well, there are two losses, I think, UCLA at UCLA.
I was there.
Oh, were you? Close game, though, right?
Well, it wasn't as close as the score, I can tell you
okay.
that. It looked like a little thumping to me. The little score was a little closer, but then they got beat up pretty good
by Ohio State. And so is it going to come down to that? If they both finish first in their division, they'll do a playoff?
Well, I think Ohio State's out, I think, because of the probation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
I think, so I guess that's probably a break for us, but it looks like potentially, if we can win out, looks like maybe we'll face Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and the winner can go to the Rose Bowl.
Hey, that'd be sort of cool.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
We got Penn State this weekend, I believe.
Penn State this weekend, and all the things that have happened at Penn State, you got to give them some credit for getting out and playing hard. So it's not going to be a rollover like it may have looked like 3 months ago.
That's right. No question about that. So that's exciting. Do you fly out there a lot to see the Cornhuskers play?
Well, we typically get out at least a couple times a year. I went to the Wisconsin game this year and actually went with Maurice.
Purifying. Oh, did you? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been on the show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I went with Maurice and my significant other, Mia, and I went. And and actually my son, AJ, as well. So we all went out there. It was a lot of fun.
Speaking of AJ, I hear he's a great little announcer.
Well, you guys did a good job with him this year. You know, he was on the radio this year, so he did a nice job.
Yeah, what is that? Is that, I think, KidStar, I believe?
Yeah, the KidStar, and he, one game he interviewed me. And was
pretty,
it was pretty funny because call each other, I don't call him AJ, and he doesn't call me Dad. We call each other partner, and that's gone on since he was actually old enough to talk.
Is that right?
And you will not hear Dad come out of his mouth. AJ only comes out when I'm mad, but it's partner. So it was interesting when we're interviewing. He's interviewing me as the owner of the Rattlers. It was pretty funny. Everything he could do not to say partner.
That is so cool.
It's funny.
We'll have to get him on the show. We've had some of the KidStar people, and they're good people.
They are good people.
I like them. Are they going to, you think, do it this year, too?
Yeah, I think they'll be active again this year.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, it's so neat to see these little kids with passion. And I mean, they're 12-year-old, right? 10, 11, 12 or so.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to see someone that young that already has a passion, which is really leads to our talk here today, because success, one of the ingredients I would think is you have to have a passion for something. Would you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, whether that passion is for something or not, I guess that becomes the question. I think from my perspective, my passion to, you know, hang in, be persistent, not give up. When you make a commitment to something, you stay with it.
Yeah.
You follow it through.
So the passion for the journey, perhaps.
I think that must be it. Cause I, you know, I would be foolish to say that I would be ever thought I would ever be fortunate to be in this situation. That's ridiculous. I think,
yeah.
And I think it'd be ridiculous for somebody to think they would be. But I think it's, cinch by an inch, trial by a mile, you know, it's a little out of time and you hang in there and you make commitments and you, whatever you said you were going to do, you do. And that by itself kind of formulates itself into leadership and you get people to follow you and get to believe in you.
Yeah.
And that's how it all kind of starts to happen.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And it's a great lesson for our listeners. It's a great lesson for the world right now where, you know, if people think the economy or outside circumstances impact how they do, my opinion is, no, you can always do well in any situation. Would you agree with that?
Well, I 100% agree with that. And regardless of the economy, we're all have an even playing field.
Yeah.
I mean, the economy's not bad for you and good for me. You know,
So
we're all in the same ball game. So the question is what you make out of it. And right now, really the opportunities from my perspective are abundant. Because, you know, the people that can take advantage of the situation right now, not in a sinister way by any means, but an opportunity to be able to, when things aren't so good and everybody's kind of got their dauber down, that's when you have an opportunity to strike.
Yeah, there's no question. And it's really about recognizing opportunities. And part of that is having a high level awareness. Do you have a belief in yourself that you can do it, your skill sets? You want to talk a little bit about that, too?
Well, again, that kind of goes back to there's definitely something about believing and not giving up. And I've been, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this. I've definitely been in my situations plenty of time where, you know, I wasn't really sure if I was going to make it to the next level or make it through this plateau. And I always tell people the mountain can only be as high as the valley is low.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're down there and it's not as good, then that's when you got to buckle down, believe in yourself and continue to go.
You know, and that makes sense. And there's so many examples, and we'll get into the business stuff in just a few minutes. But the example I would say is this past year's Arizona Rattler team, where they were probably a better team than 2 years ago, the team that, was in the Arena Bowl and sadly lost, I think it was to Jacksonville, with no time left. But however, this team had not as good a record, but better, some injuries this year, unlike 2 years ago. But look what they did in the Arena Bowl. I mean, it was an explosion of phenomenal excellence.
It was, and I had said all year long on your show earlier this year that I really thought this football team was a better football team than the previous year.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't reflected in the record. I thought there was some resolve there. I thought there was some battle-testedness there.
Yeah.
And I think that proved out, in the San Jose game, the very first playoff game. And obviously it proved out in the Utah game.
Oh, when, yeah.
You know, we're not getting beat on the last play. We're basically beating you on the last play now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everything clicked, you know, in New Orleans when we score 12 out of 12 times we have the football.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, just and then physically dominating the game and – it had to be shell shock for the poor Philadelphia soul.
Well, the interesting part is, Kevin called that before the game started in his pregame talk.
He said, did he?
Yeah, he said that they're a bunch of front runners, he was a little bit more descriptive than that, and like he can be.
Oh yes.
So he said a bunch of front runners, and we get them down early. He goes, they're going to stay down, and boy, you just couldn't have written a better script.
You know, talking about passion. Is business your passion for business or the journey? Is it different than your passion for the Arizona Rattlers?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily different. There's definitely I don't have the time to spend with the Rattlers that I'd like. Mm-hmm. We've got some good staff and Joe Windham and his team on there. So I think if I had an opportunity, you know, obviously we wouldn't change it on the football field because that's Kevin's expertise. But we probably could, you know, build our brand a little bit quicker and our sponsorship levels quicker. But
yeah.
The reality of it is we've got a pretty good direction.
Oh, yes.
Now it's a matter of putting the pieces together. And when we came in here, we had to go back and peel back the onion and really clean up a mess.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you've been a fan since 1992, and I believe that's when the Rattlers started out here.
Game one, I was there.
Yeah, and boy, they were drawing some pretty good crowds back then.
Yeah, they were. Obviously, it was new.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't have the Diamondbacks at the time.
That's right.
I don't think the Cardinals were here. They just got here.
And no Phoenix Coyotes.
No Coyotes, and that's a lot of excuses, but the reality of it is that it was new and it was exciting, and you know they were attached to the Suns marketing machine at the time with yeah. Colangelo, and so I think they sold out the first, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 10 games in a row over a couple season period of
yeah.
time, and had a lot of excitement. Of course, they won it in 94 and 97.
Yeah.
I was there almost every game.
Incredible. That's such a fun sport and fast pace, and I really encourage listeners, get out there and watch, because you'll be hooked. Once you get out there and watch the fast pace, excitement, it's never boring. Let's put it that way.
Well, we actually trademarked a phrase last year. It said, less field, more football.
That's right. I saw that.
And
that was cool.
I don't think you could describe the game any better than that. I mean, yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt.
And I think that extra excitement, too, is that a game's never over, as you guys were kind of talking
yeah.
about with some of the you know, fantastic finishes. I mean, you could see a
yeah.
big lead just go away just like that. And
which happens.
It just adds to the yeah. excitement because you never know what's going to happen.
So I guess Greg, depends on what you call excitement, huh?
Is yeah.
it, does it become – depends on what side you're on.
It depends
yeah, that was really exciting.
On.
We beat Utah.
yeah.
It wasn't very exciting for Utah.
No. That was not exciting.
That was not exciting.
Not, yeah.
I know a couple some, years ago, though, you had some amazing
right,
finishes.
In some cases.
Incredible.
Yeah.
We did.
So much fun. Well, let's go to the business thing because, you know, part of Breakthrough Thinking is business, and we have Breakthrough Sports, and this is the magazine, and the magazine sort of does a little bit of everything, variety. 1985, Sure West, it appears that you were the founding partner there. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I know you started, you said, in Nebraska doing financial-type service products. So why don't you take us from the beginning leading up to why you decided or wanted to form Sure West?
Well, first of all, a little bit of background. I've never really had a job before. The last job I had was actually putting up chain link fence in high school.
Oh, neat.
From that point forward, I've actually always worked for myself. So obviously going through college, and when I got out of college, I actually started in the financial services business and was a rep in the field out seeing clients. And then from there, we created Sure West Financial Group with a good friend of mine, Mark West, who's still my partner today in that business.
That's 1985.
Yeah, and it's actually probably before that, but I think we officially yeah. incorporated back then. And then from there, we actually got into the distribution business, where now the stockbrokers and the financial planners, the insurance guys, are actually my customers, and
yeah.
moved out here in 1989.
How do you like Phoenix?
Well, I mean, been here 23 years.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. So,
I mean, you wouldn't want to be in the East Coast right now.
Well, no, I love being from Nebraska. I wouldn't. I've been all across the country. There's no place I'd rather choose to grow up. I just don't want to go back and live there full time.
Yeah, I hear you. It is beautiful out
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
the weather. People say, "Oh, it's too hot." Well, that's why you have air conditioners,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, or go to the Rattler game. That's even better.
Indoor air conditioning football.
It's great. And now, so Sure West, sort of a marketing type of company, and I read that you were somewhat disappointed when you were out there getting clients. Maybe there wasn't enough support for you from a marketing standpoint. Is that how? Also, how you formed Sure West, that you knew people needed help.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, as an independent financial services rep, when you're sitting across from clients and you're trying to give them the best financial plan you can, the best financial advice they can, and, you know, typically sometimes you work for an insurance company or sometimes you're independent, and I was independent. So we created this distribution strategy marketing company to be able to help reps at the point of sale, sitting down in front of a client, helping with the financial plan, and some place for them to be able to go, and when you've got a client problem issue, you know, can you help me solve it?
You know, which makes sense. I mean, people, no matter what industry, should be customer focused and customer oriented, and that's a problem when you're not, because hey, most companies need customers, And what I'm looking at as a CPA and a business consultant is that a lot of companies, no matter what industry it is, they're not very good at strategic planning, number one. They think they are, or they never heard of it. And number two, they think sales is the same thing as marketing. It's completely different. You want to elaborate on that?
No, it's completely different. There's no question. I mean, sales obviously is when you're sitting in front of that client and you're trying to convey a feeling. Marketing is how you're going to be able to get in front of that client. And I kind of refer to it too, Dave, is strategic planning is one thing. Strategic partnerships are another. And yeah. I think in today's environment, the fact that you're creating strategic partnerships with people that you trust that can help give you good advice is important.
You know, that's critical. If you think about it, it's really the power of leverage. So in other words, if you think about going out networking to get clients versus aligning yourself with other groups and other folks that have pretty good pipeline already, that saves you a lot of time, a lot of money, and cuts down your marketing time somewhat.
Well, whether you're aligning yourself with people that can help you get clients or not, I think just the fact that it's a strategic partnership, you've got to be able to work with people that can help you, you know, accomplish your client's goals and objectives. And as you said, if we become client-centric, the rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Why don't we take a quick break right now? When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Ron Schertz, of course, CEO and majority owner for the Arizona Rattlers, founding partner for Nexus Group, as well founding partner for Sure West Financial Group. And we'll talk a little bit more about success and what are the qualities of success? What should people look for? And we'll be right back.
Have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222 and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. Of course, Breakthrough Thinking's on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4. Wednesday and Friday are Breakthrough Sports. And, of course, one of my favorite sports, CEO and majority owner for the Arizona Rattlers in studio. Ron, this has been really great. I think you're helping a lot of people, paving the way for how to be successful. I think that's something they really don't teach in school. Did you ever learn any of these things in school? Is more content oriented, but not the subjective qualities of success.
Yeah, I don't think there's a roadmap that you're going to teach. I think that a lot of it has to do with how you grow up, your grit. How deep can you go? I think by being involved in sports for me, all the way through, played football for 14 years through college, you learn what it takes to be successful. You learn what it takes to do the extra thing, first one on the field, last one off kind of thing, and you carry that over to life, and those principles absolutely carry forward.
And would one of the principles be incredible discipline?
Yeah, no question. And it's just about, you make a commitment, and you lay out what it's going to take to be successful in that commitment, and you make it happen.
You know, on the break, we were talking about I can't, and you mentioned, I can't is different than I won't. Talk a little bit about that, because I really believe, let me ask you this. Ever hear of neuro-linguistic programming? Tony Robbins, big motivational. Anyway, I learned from his teachers, breakthrough thinking, by the definition, just the name breakthrough thinking, your current comfort zone, and rise above your comfort zone. But I always thought, people are running around the world with at least some very soft voices going on, say, I can't do this, I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. Talk about that a little bit, because that is like programming in a computer just stops you dead in your tracks.
It does, and I had said at the break, I said there's no T in can.
Yeah, exactly.
It's can, and really from my perspective, it's won't. I don't think you're willing to make the commitment to sacrifice. It's easy to talk about, and I hear people talk about goals, and here's what I'm going to do, and here's where I'm going to be, and my question is how you get there. My question is, what are you doing today that can get you there 10 years from now? And that's what it starts off at, and I think that's, in our organizations, and me in particular, is can you go out and have the best morning you've ever had in your life? I mean, that's where it starts. And can you go out and have the best afternoon? And a little by that, you just keep after that. Because to look a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, that's crazy.
It really is. But I do believe that there's short-term thinkers and long-term thinkers. And I think an element of both is key, especially in today's society where it seems to be an immediate gratification. They want to hit the home run right now and get it, buy the lottery ticket. Maybe not working for it, but I like what you say. Can you have the best morning, the afternoon, one step at a time?
Well, I mean, you got to start off with, where's your head at? Where's your vision at? What direction do you want to go?
Yeah.
But if you sat around here, and I know in my situation, if I actually set some of the goals, some of the things we've been able to accomplish, if I would have set goals, I would be a way underachiever than what we are now. And the fact that sometimes when you reach that goal, you think you've accomplished. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that's why I like shorter term thinking in a day to day, week to week scenario, because if you do those little things right, the rest of it will take care of itself.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. I mean, the long term part of it is, hey, do you have a goal at least? Can you see where it's possible for you? But the key is one foot after the other foot, one step at a time. That's what you really have control of.
Yeah, it's the old saying is, how to eat an elephant. It's one bite at a time.
Exactly.
Right? We got to take it one step at a time and one step in front of the other and do that and be disciplined at that. And if you can be really good at that, the rest of it will absolutely take care of itself.
There's no question about it. That's a very strong NLP principle. They believe there's differences between a goal and an outcome. And the way they define it is goal, that's something out of your control. But the outcome are the series of steps that you can actually do. If someone wants to be, for example, I want to be a famous actor, for example, that's a goal that maybe not, it's outside of your control. But you can go to acting school. You can hire an agent. You can audition, and that is in your control.
Well, what's in your control is not only are you going to go to acting school, you're going to work the hardest in acting school.
Exactly.
And you're going to spend the most time in acting school. And ultimately, whether you get that big break, you can't control that. So what you can control, I'm a big fan of activity.
Yeah.
I don't like busy. I like activity. I think activity is going to breed results. And sometimes, at the end of the day, results is what matters. But you're not going to get the results unless you have the activity and do those little things.
There's no question about that. And I like that. So many times you go, hey, how's it going? And they go, I'm busy. And I'm always wondering, like, well, what does that mean? Are you really busy in a way that leading to where you want to go?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people work for me over the years that were busy that no longer work for me.
Exactly.
Right? You're too damn busy.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
You're too busy to get something accomplished.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like how you said that, to reframe it to activity and that to lead to something. And they got to see. Busy, it's like, to me, it's like a scrambled way of perceiving things.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
like a whirlwind.
This has been my philosophy for 25, 30 years. I'm just a big fan in doing those little things right, the fundamentals and the blocking and tackling do those little things. And seriously, the rest will take care of itself.
You know, I like what you said. You know, and being in athletics, Ron, it does make sense that you're learning, how to execute. You're learning team play because if you call the play, and if not everyone on the team does that play and someone decides, well, I'll do a different play, that doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't work very well. And, the same thing in our businesses, too. You know, you are operating as a team environment, and you all have a common goal in mind, and whatever that is, whether that's the goal for the month, how do you all get there? But it still has to be orchestrated very similar to athletics because there are plays that you call. There are systems, there are plans, there are planning that you need to have to be able to, accomplish that.
Well, for example, I would say, you're going to have from a strategic sense, let's say take the Arizona Rattlers, and I love equating sports to business because it just makes sense to me. But you're going to have a season plan. What's your season goal? Well, you're not going to be in football unless you want to win it all. I mean, you can't go in saying, well, I just want to be, 500. Well, that's craziness. I mean, you want to win it all. I know Kevin believes that too. And you're going to have a season plan. You're also going to have a game plan. Right? And then you're going to have play calling. So you see how it chunks down, and I'm sure that's exactly how you approach business.
Well, I've had enough conversations with Kevin, and I've got a great rapport and relationship with him as a friend.
Yeah.
And so we've had numerous conversations, but it's interesting as we met a couple years ago, and to see him operate in a very similar fashion I operate my businesses. It's the fact that you don't think for a second, there's no question your very first day in practice or in camp, it's about winning the whole thing. That's probably the last time you talk about it. From that point forward, it's about how'd you execute this morning in practice? And you'll hear him talk about, did you have a great practice? You don't hear him talk about, did you have a great practice? And by the way, we're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's we have great practice, and who's our opponent this weekend? And how do we play? And did we win? And now let's focus on the next week.
Because it's just assume that you're going to win the arena ball. I mean, that's your goal. And he told us that several times on the program. And he said, that's what he liked about you. I mean, it's so interesting that that's what you like about each other. Similar philosophies and ways of thinking about it. Because I'm sure you've seen people, employees or other businesses, they're just satisfied. In fact, I met this marketing person and she proclaimed herself as a marketing guru. And I go, oh, well, got my attention because there's not many marketing gurus out here. And I go, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, as long as I pay my bills. And I go, well, that didn't make sense to me. It's like, that's it? You just want to pay your bills? Do you see people like that?
Well, you do, and I'm not too critical of that if that's where your head's at, if that's really. But don't try and act like it's something else.
Exactly.
And so if that's really if that's your goal, that's important to you, and if your goal is to pay your bills and that's all the far you want to go, then good for you.
Yeah.
Whether I want you working for me or not, it's a different ballgame.
Exactly, right? Because, reaching your full potential and continually – developing each and every day, evolving past yourself and those limitations, that's got to be critical, and I'm sure on your team that's important.
Yeah, it is, and we actually preach that on a consistent basis, and that's the philosophy and the energy around our offices.
That is so cool. I got to tell you, I'd really admire that philosophy. I don't meet a lot of people like yourself, Ron, that has that philosophy, and it's unique. And do you think about how you communicate that to uplift others? Because it's not that only you're successful as a business guy, but you're also a leader, and you're also paving the way for other people's success. You want to talk about that?
Well, I think that's one of those things that I kind of put it in terms that you can digest.
Yeah.
Again, you can't digest where you're going to be 5 years from now. What
right.
you can digest is, again, in small bite sizes about what's it take me to get better. And I always talk to people about doing the little things, and you start if you can fast forward 6 months from now and then look back 6 months, if you can't say I'm better at what I do, I thought I was good then, you're not growing.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to do that. And so by taking those little steps at a time, you can get there, and it'll turn out the way you want it to.
Now, should that be a goal, in your opinion, a goal of continuous improvement? Is that how you would phrase it? Or do you just take the steps that will lead to continuous improvement?
Well, I think it comes back to the goal process, right? I think
yeah.
if you're setting a goal and where you want to be in 6 months or 12 months from now, and it's again, it's fine to say that, but I'm going to start with today. What do I need to do today?
Right.
And take it one day at a time and just get better at it.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's got to be so helpful for people. Now, we talked a little bit about SureWest Financial Group, and about 8 years ago you mentioned that Nexus Financial Group came into being. You already had a customer.
We did. Nexus is a company I started with a good friend of mine, Don Dady. I've known Don for about 10 or 12 years. And, you know, anytime you're going to go 50-50 partners with somebody, first of all, that's unusual for me to do that. I like to have ultimate control.
Sure.
And then taking a friend of yours for 10 or 12 years, and you always have the scary part about violating that relationship on a friendship, but it's been incredible. And we created a product development company that actually invents annuity products, investments, if you will. And SureWest, my other company, was a built-in customer. So that was kind of part of the plan. Let's create this company. Let's invent some products. And I've got somebody who can distribute them to our stockbrokers and financial planners, insurance guys. And then from there, we went out and added a group here and a group there around the country to be able to be part of the Nexus group.
Which is really cool. So you were strategic partnerships again.
Strategic partnerships, and that's exactly what it was, too. And
yeah.
that was kind of the thought process, is that at SureWest, one of the things that we do by working with reps is we try and give them a better widget when they're sitting down in front of a client. Do I have a better widget to talk to my client about? And so I thought if we created a company that could actually create better widgets, then my other company would flourish because of that, and that's exactly what's happened.
It's a unique combination. So you got a better widget or a better product, and you have a distribution channel, too, right off the bat.
Yeah, so...
Perfect combination. That's smart.
It was a perfect combination. Plus, I knew that from a distribution perspective, if we could prove that it would happen, then going out and adding additional groups around the country that we would approve to be part of our distribution strategy would be pretty simple.
Which is really important. I think I've read that you also serve a lot of the senior population, and that's critical. I mean, you know, with the uncertainty maybe of Social Security and those type of things, how important? I mean, what can you tell the listeners now about getting their own annuities, retirement, that type of stuff?
Well, it's interesting because the word annuity really, as some of your listeners may know, it's kind of had a bad name, and I've been doing it for 25 years. It's been kind of had this, the annuity, because the market has been so strong. But the products we've been able to create allow us to be able to give a client a guarantee of principal and be able to take advantage of part of the upside of the market. So our client primarily is a 60-plus client.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried about conquering the world, but what they are worried about is losing. And so if I can protect your principal, which is what we've been doing for 20-plus years, and still participate in the upside of the market, that strategy works. So it's client-centric again.
You know, that is huge, because that is absolutely correct, especially over the last 3 to 5 years when things are so uncertain. I mean, I know the stock market started kicking up, but there's still a world of uncertainty, especially when you're 60 plus. The last thing you want to do is go in the speculative type of deals.
Well, I mean, you know, when you get knocked around like happened in the last 4 or 5 years, I think in the past, I think we had short memories. And I think when you're younger, you have a short memory. As you start to get a little bit older, that memory starts to say, boy, it wasn't that long ago, right?
Yeah.
I got knocked around a little bit. And back to my annuity comment, actually in Investment News as early as last month, annuities were ranked the number one requested investments from investment advisors today.
Is that right?
It was number six last year. So just that people are looking for guarantee of principal. Yeah. They don't want to risk.
Absolutely. And especially now you got the whole baby boomer generation to – I mean, that's a huge. I think that's the biggest population right now.
No, it's a big story. I mean, we have seminars and meetings and motivational speaking events that we do all the time, and we talk about everything the baby boomers have ever touched. You know, it's exploded. You know, the minivan, and you can go on and on about they touched that, and that's what's happening now.
Yeah, and I would suspect this is going to be a phenomenal business as it has been for years to come because, again, of the uncertainty of the whole world.
Well, the opportunities. I think we've been able to pave our way for our own opportunities, but now the opportunities are starting to become a little bit more wide, if you will.
Which is really cool, and it's something that the listeners should really take notice of, not just 60-plus. I mean, anyone can start an annuity. I mean, it's wide open, or at least start thinking from an investment standpoint. It's a mindset, right?
It is, and I think, and again, you know, our products are geared to the market at some level because we get to participate in it. But, you know, when you're a little bit younger, your investment outlook's a little bit different. You've got a little bit more time, so to take a little bit more risk makes some sense. But when you start getting up there and longevity and you don't have the ability to go back to work, what do you do? I mean, you've got to get something that's going to be safe, but also that can help you, you know, get some kind of accumulation.
And people live longer these days, so you really got to plan for that because you're right. I mean, at, you know, if you're 85, 90, it's sort of tough. Walmart doesn't have that many openings.
They don't.
But, I mean, I actually sort of feel bad when you see someone go back to work for health insurance reasons or something, and you sort of see that at various retail stores. And that's difficult, isn't it?
It's unfortunate, but, you know, again, it's back to the goal process and you know, making some decisions but it's a tough environment for everybody for sure.
Life is sort of an accumulation of decisions that you make, some good, some bad, and that will end up your life.
Well, you would like to hopefully you make more good ones than bad ones.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Why don't we take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with CEO and majority owner of the Arizona Rattlers, founding partner of Anexus Group, and founding partner of AssureWest Financial Group, Ron Schertz, in studio, along with Greg Isaac. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory. When we started, he always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and
Collins, great family law attorneys, and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4 here on KXXT, 1010 AM. And, of course, we're on Monday through Friday, Breakthrough Thinking, business-type shows Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, Breakthrough Sports, all the latest sports action in studio today. Of course, our sports guy, Greg Isaac. And, Greg, this has been phenomenal because our in-studio guest, Ron Schertz, CEO, majority owner of the Arizona Rattlers, founding partner of Anexus Group, and founding partner of Sure West Financial Group. Boy, that's a lot of stuff you've done. And that leads me into my next question. Describe some of your greatest accomplishments, and as well as fondest memories along the journey. Because you've been doing it, even though you look really young, you've been doing it, I think you said, 25 years or so. And you must have had some interesting struggles, maybe certainly interesting accomplishments. What are some of your greatest memories?
Well, I think it starts with my 12-year-old, to be honest with you. Yeah, yeah. He's just really, really a good kid. And I've raised him by myself for the most part without a nanny.
Wow.
And it was few circumstances there that don't apply today, but – I just kind of felt like everything had to take a back seat to that. And I didn't want to apologize for him when he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get the fundamentals that he needs. And he's just a really, really good kid. And, you know, as early as last night, he said to me, he says, I told you, call each other partner. He goes, sometimes I catch myself sitting around watching TV, and he goes, I just don't see that being very productive. I'm not sure where that's going to get me in my life. And
You've taught him well, haven't you?
Well, that's not something I'm going to force on you, but the fact that the light bulb kind of goes off a little bit, and he had all A's except for one B. He got an 89.8 or something last quarter, so he got one B, and he said that, he goes, if I would have taken that attitude, he goes, I would have got an A in that class.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully he just gets that from being around and setting expectations. And
That's incredible for that young of a kid to have that maturity level.
Yeah, no question. And he's been around, you know, because it was pretty much just him and I hooked at the hip. I had to drag him along to social events, and everybody knew that if I was going to come, I was taking him. And he's 2 years old, and we're at a black tie affair, and he's going with me.
With a black tie?
Yep. And being around adults like that and in that environment, it ends up being really healthy for him. So he's incredibly mature, and he definitely has a different intellect that you're not going to see with most 12-year-olds.
Yeah, not just socially, but just the life experience of that, hanging around – you know, so many incredible people, has to be, by osmosis at a minimum, phenomenal.
It does. And, the crossbar has been raised, not only from success at a certain point, but definitely seeing what it takes to be successful. The crossbar is raised. And I let him know that this is my life. He's passing through. And so all the things that I've been fortunate enough to be able to experience and do, he's been able to participate in. However, at some point in time, he's going to have his own life. So don't think this is the way it's going to be when you're 22 years old, just got out of college, because this is Pop's deal.
Well, it's true, and so many people, moms and dads, I suspect, but I hear about the empty nest syndrome where, you know, people sort of rely on your kids, and you hate to see them leave. But I think our role as parents is to say, wait, it's your turn now. And hopefully you've learned some stuff. You're here to help, but you're not here to confine them, to keep them in your world.
Well, I would hope, I don't know this yet, but I would hope that I will be as excited about where he goes and what he does with his life as I am about the opportunity, if I had an opportunity to raise him.
Yeah.
So I think there's two stages here, and my job is to get him prepared.
Exactly.
And he sure appears at this point to be starting to get there.
That is so cool. Now, being a single dad, that's challenging, especially building up your businesses at the same time. How did you do it? I mean, that seems remarkable to me.
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes back to how we started the show. I mean, we've had to make some adjustments and make some changes, and the people that are part of my teams had to make those adjustments as well, because there was times that I had to be someplace. And right now, even though I'm up pretty early, the time I have an opportunity to spend with him, and this morning I went to the gym, which is why I'm dressed like this, and took him with me, went and had breakfast, and took him to school. And I didn't get to the office until 9, but I have that luxury to be able to do that now. But it's a special time for me. That wasn't the case back in the day, you know, when I had to drop him off day school at 6:30 a.m. and not be able to get back there till 6. And unfortunately, that's the way it was.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, a lot of people can relate to that, because that is the way it is. And, of course, I think over 50% of the population these days, they are single. And it's not easy.
No. And I made the commitment. I kind of put my social life on hold a little bit and said, you know, my number one priority is making sure he's okay. And when I had time away from work, it was spending it with him.
Yeah. That, you know, I got to admire you for that. You know your priorities, and a lot of people don't. And when you don't, it's a random deal in life.
Yeah, and I think you have to know your priorities. And, everybody's priorities are different. Mine just happen to be. You know, unfortunately, when he was born, I was in a situation financially, too, to be able to have a little more leeway than you typically would if you're working the normal 9-to-5 job and you're struggling, and I was not.
Yeah.
But I definitely had a lot of other people that were depending on me through our organizations and our companies that depend on me, so I still had to make sure that I was there for those guys as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, what are some other – and I admire you for that, picking certainly your son as your major accomplishment and, your most fond memory, which is continuing to go as we speak right now. What other things that, as you went on your journey creating success for yourself, your son, others, what else comes to mind?
I think that's it. I really believe that. I'm not trying to be altruistic, that I was trying to do this for anybody else. But along the way, when I look back at the people that are part of our organizations and the success they've been able to have as people, some financial success as just good, solid people, and having some influence on from a leadership perspective, and seeing their families and having them say, hey, because of you, and I know none of it's because of me, but to have them say, because of you, we're here, we've done this, or we've had an opportunity to be successful, or our kids have had an opportunity to share in some things, and, we've definitely had some influence, no question about that.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing for me. And, of course, along the way, we've had some, pretty incredible financial success that was never part of the goal, part of my goal process before, right? It was day by day, and that came along.
That usually is the case, though. I mean, you see books on that. You see other motivational speakers, like do what you love and, execute correctly. Money will flow or follow. But if you just focus on money, that's not the best of priorities.
Well, it's upside down.
Yeah.
I think that, and again, when you talk about success, we all view success differently.
Yeah.
And your level of success, whether it's financially, emotionally, you could be making $25,000 a year and view that being successful. And if that makes you happy, good for you. I like that.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do. So success and successful are two different things, and we all view it differently.
So how would you define success? Is it what you just talked about with AJ? That creates success in your life, being able to spend time with him, to really teach him the type of things that will prepare him for an enhanced life.
Well, I think if you set a priority or a series of priorities and you accomplish those priorities, that's success to me.
Okay.
Yeah. What's that priority? I mean, is it financially? If it is, that's okay. And if you set that as a priority, are you successful and can you do it in the right manner? If your family's your priority, can you be successful with that? If it's a combination of all those things, can you be successful? If by raising your kids in the right kind of manner and to see your kids go off and be successful in college and go, I mean, people get too caught up in, you know, the financial aspects of the thing as opposed to what reality is.
Yeah, people think financial things are security, but you can go down the list from Elvis Presley to so many different people in the world that they seem, by cultural standards, to have it all, but they're unhappy. Happiness got to be a key element in success.
Yeah, and for me, you know, financially, it's what it's done for me is create independence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get an opportunity to make some decisions that I don't have to discuss. You know, I'm in that situation, and it gives me some independence to be able to have some leeway and do some things I want to do.
You know, it's interesting because we're really talking about values and, you know, and prioritizing values. And certainly family would be a value. Independence is a strong value. What I do like about being self-employed is flexibility. How does that work with you?
Well, I think I said it earlier. I haven't had a job since I was 16.
Yeah.
So
you got to love flexibility.
Yeah,
do what you want when you want.
It's been flexibility for me, but with flexibility comes an incredible amount of
work
yeah. expectations. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I'd get to the office at 6 and go home at 10. And work on Saturdays and Sundays. So
yeah.
It's all fine and dandy to say you're self-employed and you got flexibility, but it's another thing to get it done.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, if you have flexibility but not the work ethic, you're not going to be very flexible very long.
And don't confuse flexibility with independence.
Okay, about that. That's
because
interesting.
Because you can have all the flexibility that you want. And that makes you independent. That doesn't give you independence. Those are two different ball games because you can be independent and do you have independence? And independence is created by having success.
Okay, gotcha.
And you know that's when you create those independence again.
So how do you know when you're independent? How would you know? At what point did you feel independent?
Well, again, independent and independence are two different things, right? So
yeah.
I think, you know, people say I work for myself, I'm independent, I have flexibility. But you've got to be able to create enough revenue to create independence,
yeah.
Where you don't have to count on somebody else from that perspective, and so it's a difficult concoction, if you will, mix.
Yeah. But it makes sense.
It does.
I fully understand. Now you do some motivational speaking and speaking in the industry. That's got to be a lot of fun for you. You're very articulate. You love what you do, and the third element is you're helping a whole bunch of people. Talk about that.
Well, and you know, motivational might be a stretch. We definitely, by some of the things we've been able to accomplish, and people can see that and feel that and see where they can go.
Yeah.
And so we kind of lead the charge there from that perspective. And as well as that, I mean, part of what we do obviously is marketing as well. So you're always out there talking about what you do, how you got there, things that they can do to be more successful, and obviously if we can help some of those people achieve their goals, that's part of what we're doing.
Do you think anyone can learn to be a marketing-type person as well as a salesperson, or do you believe that, hey, if you really can't, and we don't like to use the word can't, but if it's not in their personality or their beliefs, number one, do you change their beliefs? Do you work on their personality, or do you delegate it to someone else?
Well, I think changing your beliefs is definitely in the cards. Now, can you put a square peg in a round hole? I don't think so. Can we knock the edges off a little bit? Yeah. But to try and think you're going to put somebody, all of a sudden now you're a salesperson, I think is probably unrealistic. But changing your beliefs, saying that you can be what you want to be,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't think you really want to be that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a natural migration of your personality. It says that feels uncomfortable to me,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't figure out what you want to do and change the beliefs to get there.
And part of, I think, changing the beliefs might be letting go of the fear, because a lot of people are just sort of locked into what they think they can do, part beliefs, but also maybe the fear of success, fear of failure, fear of getting out there for fear of being rejected.
Yeah, I think failing's part of the process. Failure's not.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Look in baseball, right?
There's no question you're going to get the tar kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And that's failing from my perspective, but that's not failure. And failure is when you throw in the towel and you give up and you lay down. And so there's a difference because I've never been afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And but I never was going to have failure. And I think that's the difference.
It really is, and it sort of ties in the risk and reward, too. If you think about it, some people that want to play it too safe, does that limit their growth?
Well, again, I think it's your personality. You know, sometimes there's some of us like me that swing for the fence, you know.
Yeah.
And anything short of swinging for the, you know, knocking it out of the park, not acceptable. But I also set that expectation and that was my goal, if you will, at the end of the day, was to make sure that I could accomplish and get to the level I wanted to.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to that process about the failing, I don't remember the exact number, but the colonel from KFC, I believe, brought his recipe to something like 8,000 different, you know, groups, and everybody said no. And then finally, you know, he never gave up, right one, and look where his company's at now.
Very nice.
You know, I'm a huge country music fan.
Oh, yeah?
And
Garth Brooks?
Yeah.
I love Garth Brooks.
Yeah. But you hear all these guys, and I can only make reference to country music. It's all I really listen to. You know, the guy that, you know, comes out, has got the hit song overnight, and you're like, who's this guy? Where'd he come from? And then you pull the resume, and, you know, he's been getting, he's in the honky-tonk and behind the chain-link fence.
Yeah.
They're throwing beer bottles at him for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Finally got a break, right? And he's like, overnight success, really? So you're playing, you know, 300 nights a year in the honky-tonk, and now all of a sudden you're successful. And that's the way life is, though. That's all that stuff that you do. And, you know, back when you're getting beat up, and again, is that failing? For him, it was failing, but it wasn't failure because he didn't give up.
Right.
And that's so key. Don't give up. Persistence, perseverance, and those type of things are so important. In fact, there was a group who did Up, Up, and Away, the Fifth Dimension, I think. They got their song turned down like every day for years, and finally, by not giving up, they found the gold.
Everybody's done that. Everybody has the exact same story at the end of the day. I mean, there's nobody showing up, you know, Johnny come lucky and just show up. I mean, that just doesn't happen. If it does happen, it typically gets reversed at some point in time because you don't have the foundation that got you there.
Exactly. And there are studies, people that win the lottery, what happens? They get this money and then
they blow it all.
They're more broke when they started about 5 years later.
Yeah.
That's probably the best support that you can say about the consciousness of people.
Well, and again, I think what happens is you become time-tested and you create a foundation, some fundamentals. And that ultimately, when you have an opportunity to achieve success at whatever level you want to, it becomes a solid foundation.
How about the company? I think we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm always interested in who you surround yourself with, and I think that's critical. I mean, the company that you hang around with can somewhat determine where you're going to end up. Talk about that.
Well, and be careful. So make sure that you're hanging out with the right kind of people so that they can have a positive outcome as opposed to a negative outcome.
Yeah, there's no question. And Ron, this has been such an enlightening discussion. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I just can't wait for Arizona Rattler season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I was getting texts here from Coach Guy, and he's signing players left and right, and new players and existing players around the league. We're signing actually today. I think the release has come out. And
oh, wow.
Players that were all league last year, they want to come to Arizona and be part of this deal.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, success leads to success, and there's no better team than the Arizona Rattlers. We're looking forward to that. So we will be talking to you, I know, during the season, and get some updates. Kevin calls in every Friday, so We're here. We're your biggest fans, I think. We just love the Rattlers. And congratulations again on winning the 2012 Arena Bowl 25 championship. That had to be one of your highlights.
It was special, and thanks for your support, too.
Absolutely. No question. Greg, who do we have on at three?
Well, at three, of course, Examiner.com's Phoenix Movie Examiner, Joseph Erdo, will be joining us. And then at 3:10, we have actress Imogen Poots from Fright Night as well. As 28 Weeks Later, and then at 3:40 from Pee Wee's Playhouse, everyone remembers that show. We have Wayne White, who was the production designer as well as actor. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
Excellent. Thank you again, Ron, and see you at 3.
Thank you.
This is Arizona Station. 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.